Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable. This one for July. We're calling it July. It's August now. Whatever. We're behind always. But we have a good show for you today. So on the roundtable, Jamie sitting over there. What's up, Jamie?
What is going on, boys?
We are also joined by our boy, Chad. What's up, Chad?
What's happening?
We've got Spider here. How's it going, Spider?
Howdy.
And, of course, Cabbage. How you doing, Cabbage?
All right.
I have to mention, I think Spider specifically, this is kind of the normal crew, but I think Spider's been on just about every roundtable. I'm trying to think of one that Spider missed, and I can't think of one off the top of my head.
I'm sure there's at least one.
He missed one because he was off doing something fun with his wife one time. But,
nice.
But I think one's it. I think he's been on every other one.
He's the roundtable all-star so far. So this month's we're into the weekly show thing. And so that's on my brain. This month's roundtable is just talk about games, what we've been playing and that kind of stuff. And so nothing specific on the docket, just talking about games. So I am going to randomly pick blah, 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 Chad to go first. So Chad, you want to talk to us about what you've been playing?
Man, I've been playing a whole lot of nothing. I've been on vacation, you know, actually had some time to get away. And while I was on vacation, my kids and their cousin, really fell in love with the Switch. That got a lot of play around the cabin. So, when we got back, this is what I was texting you guys about. When we got back, I had to go buy a second one. I'll probably have to end up buying a third one. And you know what what really kind of encouraged me, that they were playing games, was that they were very interested in playing Zelda. And I see Zelda for kids as a lot more of an instructional, more of an educational game, because you're constantly problem solving and exploring and stuff. So when I saw that they were very into it, that's what they're fighting over. Well, I want to play Zelda. No, I want to play it. So I was like, well, maybe I'll just go buy another one, and did so. Bought another Switch. You know, that's been a gamey thing. And then I bought the Spider-Man PS4 Pro. I'm waiting on that.
Nice,
man, best dad ever.
that's pretty phenomenal. I'm gonna throw in a personal story just really quick because I've been playing nothing, and so this is my contribution to the show today. I just on hearing you talk about your kids playing Zelda makes me very nostalgic, because the original Legend of Zelda is the first game I really remember like falling in love with and playing when I was 6 years old or something, you know, like way back whenever. That just adored that game, and those things that you talked about problem solving and kind of how it's such a good like mental exercise for children as far as a video game goes, that's kind of stayed consistent through the franchise. And even now with Breath of the Wild, like I can totally see that. And just thinking about what the original Legend of Zelda meant to me as a kid, and now thinking about your kids playing Legend of Zelda, I'm like, wow, that's a cool, like generational kind of keep on going thing. And now I'm really excited about my daughter getting to play Legend of Zelda one day and geeking out about that. She likely won't be into it at all. But I can hope, right?
Dude,
yeah.
Dude, well, she has us.
She'll
be into it.
Yeah.
I mean, like I'm making that happen.
Yeah,
I don't
the thing
care
is,
what I got a problem with, it's happening.
One of the ways that my daughter can rebel against me is by not being into video games. You know, like if she wants to be like anti-dad, she will not play video games, and that's a bummer.
Well,
but hopefully not true.
What I'm realizing too is that kids play video games in different ways than I'm used to, or you know, my way of enjoying and playing video games is I like to sit in my chair. I have my gaming chair in front of a big TV and enjoy the experience. Like that's what I like. They want to play on the Switch, like undocked, like sitting on the couch or something like that. They really like that. I don't like portable stuff. Like I never have. I've never been a 3DS kid or anything, because a lot of those things weren't very good when I was younger, and when they finally got good, I was older. But like you said about Zelda, you know, that brought fresh memories of myself, because obviously I'm a little bit older. I had a birthday since we last spoke.
Congratulations.
Happy birthday, dude.
On Tuesday. So what is it? Saturday? On Tuesday, I turned 41. So I did that as well.
You're catching up to Jamie.
Those guys, they need to catch up to me. But I remember being, you know, I think it was like around 10 years old when Zelda came out. And I specifically, in great detail, I went and had four teeth pulled, put under, and afterwards, still loopy as hell from all the, I mean, they put me to sleep. My mom going to Target and us walking around and telling her, I was so good at the doctor's office, you should buy me this game. And it was The Legend of Zelda, the gold cartridge.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I have very fond yet fuzzy memories of Zelda myself as a child. And I really do like the fact that my girls are there right now. Really, all they want to do is catch horses and name them. But, you know, if that takes you off, and that's what's so great about that game. That's what they can do. They can roam around and catch horses, and then they'll learn something else. And they're killing goblins and, you know, doing that stuff. So.
I told you guys when we were playing, we were going through it, that my brother actually bought it on the Wii U and was playing it on the Wii U. And it was the coolest thing for me to roll into his house and see his daughter, who really doesn't play video games, playing Zelda a lot the same way that you girls were playing it. She wasn't really doing anything, but she was messing. She was messing around with horses and whatnot. And she
they're so just enjoying the world and the things you can do in it. And I'll support that. I was like, well, I mean, should I go get one? So I went and got the one with the red and the red and the blue controllers on the side, and then I picked up the pink and the green ones so that they could both have, you know, use colorful ones versus just the gray. Like, you know, just kind of went all out and got a cool Zelda kind of leathery case for it. And I, you know, I'm all about encouraging, you know, problem solving and learning through video games. I think a lot of people don't realize that you can do that. I think it's our generation that grew up knowing that or, you know, learning that as children, that finally do understand that video games can be, it doesn't just have to be math munchers and stuff like that, that video games do present a lot of good problem solving skills.
I agree 100%. I think that's awesome. And mentioning math munchers makes me really happy.
I love math munchers.
There was does anybody remember this game? When I was young, when we like went to the computer lab in school, there was a game called Super Solvers, I think. And we dug it. We like loved it so much. This is when I was in maybe third grade or something like that. Did anybody else like Oregon Trail? We did that stuff too. But the Super Solvers game, I don't think I've ever talked to anybody else who remembers that game.
I never played that one, but I played Math Munchers and Word Muncher.
Yeah, a lot.
But no, I don't remember Super Solvers.
Yeah,
I don't remember that one. I mean, I remember like Mario Teaches Typing.
I was going to say that one. Yep.
But also, I mean, something I don't think I've ever talked about, like for your guys' age, I was in college at that time and I was running an elementary school computer lab. So
nice.
I was teaching guys that are now your age, like all that stuff, you know, with the Math Munchers and, you know, an Oregon Trail and everything. So on those old Apple labs.
That's fantastic. I love that.
I love it. Like, I know you're milking the age thing, dude, but you're only 2 years older than me. Thank you.
Well, when you're in college and 18, you don't have to be that much older. You don't have to be a
few years. Okay, fair enough.
Bad. That turned into a good nostalgia trip that I wasn't expecting. Thanks, Chad. Good times. Spider, how about we get you in here? What have you been playing?
I've been playing, as usual, lots of Final Fantasy Record Keeper on my phone. That's still my number one game that I play. Other than that, I have really not been playing a whole lot. I've been watching a lot of stuff about video games. Giant Bomb had this great series called Garfield with Gerstmann, where Jeff Gerstmann had to go through and play. So far, he's played two very awful Garfield games and had to beat them. And it's just great watching him have to suffer through playing these horrible games and getting frustrated with them. So I highly encourage you guys to check those out. But as far as what I've been playing, I just not a whole lot.
I feel like we need to start a club.
Yeah, you guys, you guys are totally making us feel better. Because this has been us for like 6 months. Like, man, I want to play video games, but I don't have time. And I actually played some games today because I'm like, okay, we're doing the round table and I don't want to suck. So you guys are actually making us feel better, I think. So thanks for that.
Yeah. My wife and I are planning a 3-week trip to Europe, so that's part of what's been taking up a lot of my time in the last month.
Very cool. So are you going to try to get in on the round table if you're in Europe the next time we do it?
As long as I can get a Wi-Fi connection during the time we're doing it. Let's see, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock CST is going to be like 11 p.m. So maybe we'll see.
No. I got a better idea because we got another guy in Europe that wants to get in, one of our oldest listeners, but he needs to start slightly earlier at like 3 Central Time, so we may be doing that next week.
We'll just have the European edition of the roundtable.
That would work out.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
I will definitely be getting lots of game playing done while I'm on vacation because I'm taking both my Switch and my Vita with me and playing through a ton of backlog at night after we get back to the hotel. So,
very nice. And flights, flights is very.
Are you gonna take? Sure. Will you take the dock with you?
Oh, that's a question.
If you're gonna be there for 3 weeks, it's not just overnight. True. I mean, don't you take the dock and?
Yeah, I might as well. That's probably as long as the problem I found is some hotels like will cover up their HDMI ports or do weird things where you can't alter them, but others don't care. Yeah, I'll probably just take it with me and deal with it as we get to each hotel.
It is really small, and so it doesn't take up a ton of room. That's nice. Well, it's not like packing a console.
And what I noticed is that the thinner part is real flimsy. So, you know, the thinner top part, you know, on the, I forget what side, the right side of it, bends in. There's no support for it. So when you pack it, you just got to make sure, like maybe put something in the middle of it, you know, like a towel in the middle of it or something like that, so it can't.
That's a good idea.
And how much do you have to pay to get a new one? Like $90? How much do they charge for?
Oh man, just for that piece of plastic. Yeah. I feel like they missed an opportunity to just create a case from that thing. That's like just charge an extra $50, make it super durable, and put it, you know, when you put the Switch in, it's in some sort of case thing that just, you know, you can throw in your backpack and don't have to worry about it getting damaged. Just pull all the cords in there and everything.
It's $60 on the Nintendo store.
Oh, okay. Well, it's better.
Slightly better.
$99.
I think they went on sale for a while there for like $50. That's when I picked up a bunch of them because I have like one, two... Three.
You are the only person I know that has bought multiple Switch docks.
I had to have a dock in every room because, you know, just so I could.
No, I understand why you would do it. It's just funny.
First world problems, baby. First world problems.
Of anybody, it would be Chad that I would expect to have a bunch of Nintendo Switch docks.
For the price of all the docks, you might have bought another Switch.
That's the thing. I bought the other Switch yesterday. I was like, fuck, now, but I have like more docks than TVs now. Like, what am I going to do with them?
Oh my God.
hey, send me one.
but I'm gonna because you know we're moving to a bigger place here soon, so and the wife gave me a go ahead on a 75 inch 4K for the new living room, so you know I'll need another dock.
of course.
Convenient. I'm sorry, but it's almost like you're like, before the show, you're like, okay, how big of a dick can I possibly be on the road? I mean, seriously,
think about it, though. Like, that's what I enjoy. And honestly, I don't spend that. I mean, the equivalent of maybe a couple of grand a year on that hobby. Like, I mean, that's for a hobby. That's cheap, you know. I mean, video games and watching movies and things like that. That's what I enjoy to do in my wind down time, you know. Where I mean, if you have a friend that has motorcycles or you know, or they have boats or things like that, they spend way more money on it. It may sound like it, you know, but that's just what I enjoy investing my mind break time in.
Hey, sure. Tommy, do you think that logic would work with your wife? Because I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
I'm just saying that ain't working in our houses.
But God bless you, man. I mean, do what you gotta do.
If you need to call me, you know, you need to figure out how to get your balls out of your wife's purse, you let me know.
Yeah.
I hope she doesn't hear this, because if she does,
hey man, I mean, he's not wrong, and I'm okay with that. Like, I understand my situation. We're all good.
Yep.
So, Cabbage, what have you been playing?
How am I supposed to follow all that? Well,
yeah, good luck.
Well, I've been honestly, so this is going to sound like a Jamie segment, but I've mostly been playing an older game.
Nice.
Which is The Witcher 3, because I have to play, I decided for some stupid reason to play through it for like the third time. But this time, I decided to do basically everything in the main game and the two expansions. And so you can imagine how much time.
When did you start this? Because I wish you'd have told me so that we could have started together. But and now I'm really interested.
Well, let's see. I know that in the playthrough file, because I've played on the PC, I've played a couple different playthroughs, so the Steam hours don't reflect this, but I think it said it took me about 45 hours to do basically everything in the main game. Now, and I say basically everything, meaning I didn't do the Gwent stuff, because now that the Gwent game has been, they have their like standalone Gwent game that I think is way better.
Yeah.
Like, I liked Gwent when I first played the game. I was like, oh, it's cool, fun diversion. And, you know, there's all these side quests to do with it. But I just ignored those this time, because if I'm going to play Gwent, I'm going to play the standalone game. So I didn't do those. I didn't do the brawls. I didn't do the races. So I guess technically I'm not doing everything. But I'm doing, basically did every side quest, all the Witcher contracts, like every thread of the main story. And I took about 45, 48 hours. But I can't tell you when I started. I have no idea when I started that playthrough. Sometime in the last month. I mean, it's been a whole month of, you know, playing in spare time. So
I love it, man. I've got to get around to that. That game just makes me happy every time somebody talks about it.
No, and I honestly think, I think it's the greatest game ever made. I just don't even know what the argument is against it, except for gameplay, because the gameplay is okay. It's fine. It's not fantastic. So some people are like, oh, video game has to have 30. I don't care. Like, to me, the game, like the story and the world and how you get drawn in and the threads that you can follow, and like, it is, I cannot think of another game that I view in a more admirable light or whatever.
Reverence?
Sure, yeah. I mean, sure, Dark Souls has better combat. This game has better that, blah, blah, blah. But no, I just can't think of another game that even comes close to it. I mean, maybe The Last of Us in terms of characters and story is up there. And There's a lot of games, but just nothing touches The Witcher 3 for me. Nothing now, even.
Now, on the gameplay side, the other side of that, you really love Mankind Divided. Mankind Divided doesn't have the other stuff, but Mankind Divided has the gameplay that The Witcher probably doesn't have.
Well, I like the gameplay in The Witcher, but it's just, it's not the most in-depth stuff. A lot of people don't like the combat, and I'm actually fine with it, but, you know, after you've played through it multiple times, and you play hours and hours through each playthrough, the combat just kind of gets like, it's all right, you know, when that's not something you want to say about a game. You don't want to be like, it's all right. It does what it needs to do. But yeah, other than that, I mean, it doesn't have the fun, crazy, MacGyvering feeling of something like Mankind Divided or something like that. But I'm kind of wondering with Cyberpunk, if we're with what I've heard of the gameplay, because we haven't been able to see it yet. But from what I've heard, I'm kind of wondering if there's going to be a lot of sort of insane creativity in the combat and stuff you can do, so that you'll have your great CD Projekt story, but then also have gameplay that's really compelling throughout the whole time too. So we'll see, but I'm assuming everybody at this point, most people have played The Witcher, so I'm not going to convince people to play it. You've probably played it, and you either loved it too, or maybe you're meh on it or whatever, but that's pretty much all I've played, so I think we're all in the same boat. Not a lot to say about new, because all the new stuff's coming out, like what, next month or September? I feel like 3 or 4 games are coming out. So.
Yeah, so what we have Spider-Man coming in September, we have Red Dead in October, right?
Yeah.
What else Tomb is Raider. Big? Tomb Raider. What else is big this year that's still to come?
Spider-Man. You got Red Dead Redemption 2, Spider-Man.
It's Chad.
Assassin's Creed. Sorry. Did I just re-say some stuff?
You did.
I was looking up for next topic. Sorry. Okay.
Well
just,
done.
Just
well
don't done. Mind me. Just put me on mute. Sorry. I was trying.
I was going to say, so probably by the time we do the next one, I'll have, because I'm getting all those games. I just have to. Like, I have to play all those games. So I will have played them depending on when we do it, and we'll talk about those. But
So wait. Somebody remind me, is Red Dead on PC or not?
Nah, they haven't announced
yet.
It. And to be honest, I'm not expecting it. I'm just not going to get
it. I'm not either, but I so want it. Like, all of those that are coming out, they're all PS4.
Tomb Raider will be on PC.
Tomb Raider will be on PC. You're right. Yeah. But man, I'm hoping that Tommy somehow glues himself to the PS4 so that I can live vicariously, because I'm looking forward to the next month.
Man, Spider-Man and Red Dead. So let me bring this up really quick, because I feel like Red Dead's been really quiet. Yeah. Like, just not seeing much new content on it or them talking about it. So I wouldn't be terribly surprised if it got pushed back. But I'm also a little worried that it might not be great.
I have zero of those worries.
Good.
Every time I think that's going to happen with Rockstar, I'm proven wrong. I mean, GTA 5, I was like, it's another Grand Theft Auto. They're always kind of fun, but I put them down. And then it was, speaking of story games, GTA 5 is actually really high up there for me.
Yeah.
Honestly, game. That story is so fun and actually like really dramatic too. It's not just fun. That's up there. So like that game blew me away. I was completely surprised by how much I got into it. So I just can't bet against them. And you're right. They've been quiet. You haven't really seen anything. Maybe that's on purpose. Maybe they just really want to hide the game and not oversaturate. Because part of it is that they know that people can get fatigued with a lot of this stuff. So, but they know that they can rest on their laurels in a sense, because they're Rockstar. Honestly, whether it's GTA or not, their games are going to come out. People know the name. They know it's Rockstar. It's going to sell. So, I don't think they have to advertise it too much until it's pretty close, and we're a little far away. But I have to say, personally, just from what I've seen of both games, I think Spider-Man's going to be my maybe Spider-Man's game of the year.
Be great.
It might top God of War, maybe. We'll
no,
see.
No way.
Oh, absolutely. No way. Have you seen the gameplay? It looks insane.
Well,
and if the story is really good too, like to me, it's like I kind of have to give it more to a game that I could be freaking Spider-Man. It, like in a good game. Like we haven't really had a great Spider-Man game, so if it pulls it off.
Well, the embargoes, because people have played it, you know, and embargoes are finally up. So over the last couple of days, you know, people are discussing gameplay and everything else, and it's 100% positive that I've heard, you know, heard on podcasts and read.
So, I mean, right now, God of War is top for me. It's not even though Monster Hunter I love for a multiplayer little game, but like overall, God of War is the game this year until we'll see. But I kind of am thinking Spider-Man has the potential to dethrone it. So,
and Red Dead being kind of dark horse in that conversation just because it's been so quiet, but could show up and be phenomenal. And to be fair, Rockstar has been putting a lot of public attention into Grand Theft Auto Online. And so maybe that's where a lot of their focus is until we get a little closer to the launch window of Red Dead. But yeah, I'm with you there. Also, Fallout 76 still coming this year. So that's another one coming in. So positive reactions there.
What even is the game? I've honestly not seen anything much of it. People just say it's happening. Like I don't.
Okay, so
like a survival online sort of.
Since we're on that, I have to ask because I played a little bit of Fallout 4 this week, and I played another game I'll talk about in a minute. But I'm learning that the building and construction and all of that is big in Fallout 4, and I just don't get it. Like, I want to ask everybody here, how much of that did you do in Fallout 4? Because it's there, you can go crazy with it, I understand that, but how much of that did you actually do?
It was so complex and convoluted that I turned off the game and never turned it back on. it annoyed me so much. Like, I was running around, I was like, oh, this isn't a bad game. Like, this is cool. Like, I'll like it. And then I got to that building shit, and I was like, I don't want to do this. This is annoying.
See, that's how I feel. I don't think I want to do it either. Like
this is no not fun.
Doing it. It's just a distraction so that all your settlements keep getting attacked and the one dude keeps telling you about it. And it's just a distraction. There's nothing. I don't feel like the settlements ever really become that useful or meaningful to your character. I have a lot of problems with Fallout 4. I really didn't like that game. I liked 3, but 4 was like, eh.
I like you know how I feel about Fallout 3, and you know how I feel about New Vegas, but I don't know.
As the advocate for Fallout 4, apparently now, because I really did enjoy Fallout 4, I just ignored the base building stuff. Yeah. I didn't do it. I a little bit because there's a few quests where you can do an aspect of it, and it's cool. But for the most part, like is it Sanctuary, the place at the beginning?
Yes. Sorry,
my printer is just randomly doing stuff in the background. So if you hear my printer, so I just exclusively stuck to Sanctuary as kind of my base, and so I didn't really use, I mean, you can like fast travel, which is handy, but I didn't ever build up any of the other places. You can go like to get resources, which was handy, and so I had a couple places that I'd go when I needed a certain resource, but outside of that, I didn't do it, and I enjoyed the game without that aspect of it.
I'm not going to do it either. I don't think I'm just not interested.
Yeah. You know, part of the problem necessary. Part of the problem with it is that it's way too convoluted. Like Chad said, at least that part, because there's way too many resources and there's way too many of the individual resources you have to get to build the simplest of starter things.
Yeah.
I just felt like if this was way more straightforward, I could see it being something the player would do in the sort of loop of playing the game and say, okay, now I'm back in my hub. I'll do this or that. It's stuff I've picked up on my journeys. I think they were trying to have you do that, but every time I look at stuff, it's like, oh, you need 13 of this, 14 of that, 26 of this, 30 of that. And it's like this giant list of very rare materials. It's like, I don't even care about this. Like, this just seems like a waste.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And so I got the materials for like the specific things, like specific upgrades that I wanted for the weapons, which I really dug. I like that aspect of it. But the whole base thing, which makes me worry for Fallout 76, because it feels like that's going to be like the central part of Fallout 76. And it was my least favorite part of Fallout 4. And so if you're building a game on that, it's probably not going to be something that I'm going to be super into.
And I've never heard anybody say they loved that part either. So I don't know if that is what that game is. Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to do.
It's all over YouTube. I mean, if you look up Fallout 4 and you said there's people doing all kinds of crap with the building stuff. And I don't get it.
Yeah, it's that Minecraft thing.
There's people that like Minecraft, I don't. I mean, whatever.
Yeah. I think that's all of us. I think all of us are the people who don't get Minecraft, really. And so
I get Minecraft. Aspect,
well, I get it.
It's been a while since I played it, but I played it for a long time.
Fair.
But to me, Fallout 4 is not Minecraft at all. Like, sure. It doesn't match what you can do in that. So,
but it's that building and world thing. Did you play Fallout 4, Spider?
I did not. I can't chime in on that. I'm waiting for a good discount where it includes all the DLC, like for $20. Plus, my backlog's long enough that I can wait till that gets cheaper. I thought
they recently did that for.
They did for the summer sale. Game of the Goatee was like $20.
I must have missed it.
Yeah.
By the way, Todd Howard, no, it was not Game of the Year. That was Witcher 3. You can still be sour about it. We saw your face.
When you guys are ready, I have an actual topic based on a conversation from your last episode that enraged me this morning.
When we're ready.
Here we go.
I'm curious. Now I want to hear it.
You guys ready? Can we get into this? Okay. I want to talk about ROMs, Nintendo suing about ROMs, and the gaming uncensored complacency in the theft of other people's intellectual property. I want to discuss
that. That's not where I was expecting that to go.
It was. I wanted how complacent. I mean, when I hear things like, I'm just going off the top of my head because I was working, I wasn't writing down, but I was enraged. Like Jamie say things like, well, hasn't Nintendo made enough money? Yeah, well, whatever. You know, something along those lines. I had a question for you gentlemen, and we could all get into this conversation, was how about, I mean, since you guys aren't using it to really make any money, how about if somebody went and started selling the old episodes of Gaming Uncensored? I mean, that's okay. Hey, Chad, that's okay. And started making money off it. How would you feel about that, buddy?
Would it be okay with you?
Hey, I mean, you're not using it, really.
Let me help you out, buddy. That has happened, okay? That hasn't happened, but our stuff's everywhere.
Oh, I've sold your stuff, a lot. I mean, you don't even know.
But I had things, I heard things like they've made enough money. I mean, who's to determine? Because it's not just Nintendo. It's different publishers and everything like that. And I mean, how about if somebody came over to your house and just was like, well, you're not using that. Well, I'm going to take it. I'm going to sell it. Like, I mean, this is, let's talk about that mentality. Can we get into it?
I'm starting to understand how someone got all the money to buy a bunch of Switch docks.
A challenger has appeared.
By working my ass off, that's all.
Well done. I would take a little issue of saying that we were overly complacent. I mean, we said that we don't support it, but we didn't get too worked up about it, and both admitted that we've downloaded ROMs and stuff in the past. But I agree. I'm with you that intellectual property theft, not great, and we don't want that. And admittedly, I pirated games a lot when I was young and don't pirate games anymore because of that feeling. And also, quite honestly, I mean, practically, one, Steam makes it easier, and two, I'm older that I have money to buy games, in which when I was in college, I just didn't have a whole lot of disposable income, and so I stole games instead. But I don't do that anymore, and I don't think it's a good thing for the industry. And I work in the music industry now, which is also an industry that's been ravaged by the intellectual property theft. And so you're absolutely right. It's not good.
Well, the only thing that really saved, a lot of that theft in the music industry was Metallica putting their you know, putting their reputation on the line. I mean, a lot of people really looked at them the same way you were talking about Nintendo on that episode as being these like spoil sports. Like, what the fuck is your problem? Don't you have enough money? but now looking back, so much of the music industry thanks them for really putting themselves on the line and protecting artists.
I would take issue with that. No, I have a different perspective on that. I got a problem with that.
That's not cool. This is great.
The thing that changed the music industry was iTunes and having accessible, downloadable music that was monetized, which was what they should have done in the first place. And record labels knew it was coming, and they did nothing when they had a chance. And so I think Metallica specifically lost a huge amount of credibility with their fan base over that whole thing. I think it was personally pretty bad.
But they took that. I think they took that risk, you know, knowing.
Sure, they did.
They protected other artists that way. They shut down Napster. Napster was, you know, stealing millions, if not billions, of dollars from artists and promoters.
But that didn't change after Napster was shut down. The tech was already out there, and it kept on going for years again until the point that it became easy to download music. People were willing to pay for that convenience, and then ultimately streaming as well, which is where we're going with the gaming industry, where we're going to get to this games as service thing, and then it's the whole thing.
And my whole thing was iTunes changed it, but I gotta be honest, I don't have a lot of music that I bought off of iTunes. I think what changed it for the vast majority of people is Spotify, talking about the service aspect of it, because Tommy and I have been talking about this for 2 days, and the fact that I have Spotify, he has Spotify, he's in the industry and teaches this stuff, and he said something that really, really stuck with me in a text, and that 90% of his listening is done on Spotify, because it's that good. And so I think iTunes changed it, but Spotify really made it accessible and easy for everybody.
Well, absolutely. And then Amazon Music, you know, $15 a month, and my family has on every device access to, I mean, I couldn't even tell you what music isn't on there, and I could just walk up to Alexa, play me the Beatles, and you know, and it works. So I get what you're saying. You know, I mean, that's great. That's the service that you pay for, and that's contracted. But I've just never been one of those people. Like, I have friends, like, I've got every movie. They're still in the movies. I won't watch them. I mean, I have friends also in the industry, you know, that are actors, but not just actors, but that are lighting guys and gaffers. And I've always looked at that as it really isn't a victimless crime when you do those things. And, you know, like with the Nintendo stuff, regardless if they put it up for sale or not, that isn't our call. I mean, that is their property. That is their IP. And that is their call to make, not as consumers, ours to go, well, if you're not going to do it, then we're just going to steal it. I mean, I've always had a very black and white idea about that.
Can I be honest and say Chad with morals is kind of weird? I don't know why it feels that way, but it just kind of
weird. Have I ever not had morals? Like, I may be crass and joke, but I have my moral. I have a very high moral standard.
Fair enough.
Okay. Yeah.
Gabby, did you want to jump in?
I was going to say, you know, these sites have operated for, when I was younger, same story, you know, didn't have a job, had a computer that was just good enough to run some emulators. So, yeah, I would get some of these games that I couldn't access in another way, whether it was because I didn't have the money or because it's an old Super Nintendo game that you can't get anywhere nearby, or it's really expensive to buy the cartridge, all that kind of stuff, you know. And these things have existed for so long, and I feel like this is just recently Nintendo has been cracking down on them. Have they done this before?
No.
How
is any of that an argument?
I didn't even stop. I was not done.
Okay.
I'm going on a different angle here. So my question is, why are they doing this now? And my hope would be, because I think that they should protect their property. Absolutely. I'm basically completely agreeing with Chad. They have every right to do it. They probably should have done it a long time ago. My question is, why are they doing it now? And I would hope that they're doing it now because their plan is to make their iTunes for games. You know, like, that's what I want to see. And that's what I've been wanting to see from the Switch ever since it came out. I want to see them have a completely full virtual console. Like, hey, literally all of our games are on here right now. Or we're going to roll them out like Xbox has done. You know, every month we're adding 30 new games. And whether it's a service you pay monthly for or you pay a flat fee, I will pay $15 to $20, as stupid as it probably is, per game to get a lot of these old games. Like you were saying, it's out of one, convenience. Two, I feel better about it. Three, I have the money now, so I don't care. Like, I'll do it. And I will pay money to have all these games on the Switch. But they haven't done it, and I don't know why they haven't done it. They want to put out their little Super Nintendo classics and all this stuff that, of course, fly off the shelves, and I'm sure they're making money on it. But, like, if you really want to have a curve against all these emulators and ROMs that have been around for decades, just give us access to the games. We have to pay for it, of course, but come on, make it easy. It's 2018. I know you're a weird company that always does random things that we can't predict, but you have to know how easy this would be to just instantly have a giant cash flow if you put all these games up for us to buy. Like, just do it.
And can we specify something? I think it's funny that Chad, like, hulked out about this, but we totally said that this is wrong and that they have every right to do that. We did that. We said that. And I believe that. But the other side of that was, it seems sort of vindictive and evil. I mean, to me, it feels like they're being Mr. Smithers from The Simpsons.
Well, and okay, and here's the thing. The reason why you're saying that is because we live, I'm just going to say it. We live in a society that everybody wants to be a victim. Everybody wants to act like if a guy has a lot of money and he's trying to do something to protect his property, then that means he has to be evil because he's in a position of power. No, it means that he's doing what he needs to do to help his business and help his intellectual property, because that's what you do. That's what you do. That's what you should do no matter what size you are. So I don't see why, just because Nintendo's a big company, that them cracking down. And by the way, like, maybe it feels weird when they're cracking down on people making fan games. I can understand why you'd be a little bit iffy about that. But they're cracking down on people that are literally just distributing their games. Like,
it's their games.
Yes. So, again, yeah, I agree with Chad.
This is, I'll add two quick points, if I can keep the two quick points in my head while I'm trying to add them. First, I would say the idea that as consumers, we shouldn't criticize Nintendo because it's their property and they can do with it what they want, I take a little bit issue with. Because we're the consumers that are ultimately the ones that are consuming their product. And it's a symbiotic relationship. And so I think we have a place in that. It's not just it's theirs, they can do what they want with it. Of course they can, but I can be pissed about it too. Like, it goes both ways.
I agree.
The second thing I would say, and why I think it feels vindictive, and why I did have it just feels icky to me, is that them going after specific websites is all within their legal right and everything, but it's not going to stop access to ROMs. Again, if you're a person who is downloading emulators and downloading ROMs, you can find them. They're not hard to find, and you're willing to go through a little work to do that. And so you're not going to stop the problem. You may make a statement, and you may make other people not want to do it. And I get the value in that. And there's definitely something to that. But it doesn't seem like it's a way to solve the problem. I can't imagine that the guys that run these ROM websites are making tons of cash off of them. I could be wrong. Those ads could be bringing in a lot of revenue, and Nintendo could make some money off of this. But I just don't see what the end game is with it ultimately, other than just making a statement about wanting to restrict access to their intellectual property to their platforms, which I'm for.
I support that.
Yes.
But if the only thing you're doing is making that statement in a way that's probably not going to end up in that result, I would much rather you say, here's access to those. And so I hope Cabbage is right. I really am hopeful that Nintendo will have a games as service, especially for that classic stuff that I want so bad. And like the NES Classic is super cool. I tweeted out a story about how it outsold the PlayStation 4 and the Switch in July, I think, or in June, which is just nuts. But that's still not quite scratching the itch the right way. And that, like, I don't want to go buy that box. I want them on my Switch. And I know that's petty. I, as a consumer, I'm petty about that, of wanting it a certain way.
That's a legitimate, but what you're saying is a legitimate argument. I would like this. And that's not, maybe, you know, what you took umbrage of that. That's what you thought I said. What I was criticizing was the attitude of, well, you know, kind of everybody's done it for a long time and, you know, they've got enough money. They've got enough money. You know, I mean, that's something that was specifically said. Those are the kind of attitudes that I don't like. I mean, if you want to criticize a company like both of you did just now of, hey, we want this product, give it to us then and we'll pay you. Hey, perfectly legitimate argument. But the argument of if you don't give it to us because we want it, then we're going to steal it because you won't give it to us. That is an asinine argument. There's zero defense of it.
Everything that Tommy said, that's where I'm at. I still feel like it's vindictive. You're not gonna stop it. It's one of those things that, like, it is absolutely their right. You shouldn't steal ROMs. I love the fact that we're arguing about this because I think we all agree.
I know.
And yet we're still arguing.
It's better than non-bullshit topics that we did have, right? You know what I'm saying?
Here's the bottom line. Whatever you got, we say it on every show. We would love to make money on this show, and it may never happen. And we do make some money thanks to you guys. We'd like to make some really big money. It may never happen, but we have learned over the past 10 years that it don't matter how big you are, how small you are, whatever, people are going to steal the crap. That's happened to us how many times now, Tommy?
People several.
Stealing stuff.
Yeah, people have taken our logo and our name to put on their own stuff, for sure. And so, while that's not costing us tons and tons of money, we have been there, and we've sent, like, cease and desist to people about using our crap. And so,
and you should.
Absolutely. 100%. And so, yeah, I think this was just the most contentious agreement that we've ever had on this show.
There's just a little bit of, you know, disagreement in details or something.
Yes, it's very shades of gray. We're all basically on the same page. So, Spider, before we wrap, is there anything that you wanted to add to this conversation?
Sure. So I used to rent stuff from the library or, like, listen to music on the radio or, you know, record and then record on cassette tapes. And I think that's where that whole, well, I can download it mentality started, because it's like, well, instead of having to wait for the song to come on the radio and then record it so I can keep it, I can just download it on my computer. And, you know, it's sixes. It's the same thing. And so then, like, you know, it came down to, like, well, I can go to the library. I can copy PlayStation. I can rent PlayStation games, and then I can copy them. I can mod my PlayStation and to play said games. And I do take issue with the fact that the money lost doesn't always necessarily all translate into sales, because, like, as a teenager, I downloaded music for free because I didn't have the money to pay for it. So, like, either I was getting it for free by stealing it, or I wasn't getting it. You know what I mean? And so, no, I wouldn't. Sure, some of those people would have still bought if they were, you know, really into that band or that song or whatever, would have still bought that music. But I'm willing to say that there's probably a good chunk of those people that probably wouldn't have bought it in the first place anyway. The only reason they got it was because it was for free, and they didn't have the money to pay for it. All that being said, to use a Tommy phrase, I totally agree that Nintendo should and has the right to go after people for ROMs, even if they're doing it. Doesn't matter when. It's their property, and so if they want to wait until they feel like it's, for whatever reason, they feel like they need to do it, it's time for them to go after them. So that's totally within their prerogative.
I have one Thanks, more question Chad. About you guys, a couple of you have said this now, where I did this when I was younger because I didn't have the money, but none of that makes it right, you know?
No, it doesn't.
I mean, I was raised, if I didn't have the money for something, you didn't get it. Like, I had to go to work.
Yeah, but I can't go back and have a moral discussion with my younger self. I'm saying, if there's a young person listening now, don't do this.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's just this kind of weird, you know, and I get it. It's a younger thing. And if that mentality doesn't exist today, that's fine. But a lot of people, even as adults, do have that mentality. Well, I can't really afford it. So, I mean, I wouldn't be paying for it anyways. So I might as well just steal it, because they're not really losing any money on me. I mean, that's a very common mentality, regardless of age, you know, yes, for a lot of people. And I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I had to go. My dad, I was lucky. My dad owned his own business, and I started to go to work with him when I was 8 years old. Like, you want that video game? You have to go to work with dad and sweep up and, you know, hand him his tools and stuff like that. I had to start doing that at 8, you know? So this, you don't have the money, you know, it is odd to me.
I agree. But I was just explaining.
I'm not saying it's right, just saying that's what my mentality was as a teenager.
It's odd now, but when I was 10, 12, 15, it totally made sense.
Yeah, and then
let's hope Tommy and I teach our kids different, right?
Well, what Spider was saying about music, like when you're younger, when I was younger, I just viewed music and downloading music in a certain way that now the idea of just downloading an album feels physically wrong to me.
Yeah.
Like every level. Yes. I have to go and at least listen to, you know, the official upload on YouTube and then say, oh, I like this. I'm going to go probably buy the album now or whatever. I actually still buy albums. I know a lot of people use streaming like Spotify. I just like to buy it and have it.
I do too.
Digital
life. I have a huge CD collection.
So I think it just has to do with, hopefully when you get older, I think all of us, and I think I'll be generous and say most people decide to start buying things, but there's still going to be a subset, like you're saying, where that mentality continues on until people are older and they, for some reason, don't mature enough of that part of their brain to realize what they're doing, you know?
Yeah. And I got to tell you, as big a stickler as I am about this stuff, if I take my family and my kids to like a buffet and, you know, and it's, well, if this kid is 6, it's $10 cheaper. My wife won't let me say that shit like that. So that's what I'm dealing with at home. I'm like, but she's only 7. Like, we fucking say she's 6 and we save that money. I'm not going to do it. That's not right. So I'm telling you, like, this is pretty hardcore. I bend the rules now and then, but even my wife doesn't ever bend the rules.
I'll say.
We're over with Chad. I love it.
Thank you, Chad, for bringing it up, because that was actually a wonderful conversation. So good job there. I will I just say one thing on the mentality thing, and I promise we'll wrap up. I think, and this is, again, not an excuse, and we were wrong, and I think we all agree on that now, and take away anybody that's listening to the show, don't pirate stuff because it's stealing. But I do think when we were younger and coming of age at the same time that this technology was coming of age, I say this at least for myself, and so don't let me project on anybody, but for me, coming of age the same time this technology was coming of age, it never dawned on me of it being theft because it was digital.
No, it wasn't.
It didn't feel that way. I won't say it didn't dawn on me. At some point, I realized that. But the fact that I wasn't walking into a record store and, like, sticking CDs under my coat, like, it didn't feel like that. Right. And I think the idea that intellectual property theft was so easy and so accessible, and this is where, and I will, to my dying day, still fault the industry in part for all of this as well, the industry not seeing that as a potential snowballing effect made it where me as a kid said, oh yeah, this is just super easy. I'm going to do it and listen to music and whatever. It just became this huge, massive thing that I don't think anybody really expected to become a huge, massive thing, because it never felt like physically stealing. Even though now, like Cabbage said, it kind of makes me sick to my stomach to think about going and like stealing a $60 game off of a torrent site or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do it. Like there's so many games I want to play that I'm like, oh, it's $60. I'm just going to wait. You know, like there's just no way I would do that today. But at one point, it made total sense in my head, and that accessibility that existed. And again, with something like Steam or iTunes that has made that accessibility where you can pay money to have that convenience has basically taken that away from me, that I just don't even consider it anymore. So
one more quick story. And this is a good example of how it made total sense when I was a kid, but when Napster came out, you want to know the biggest thief in my house? The biggest thief in my house was my mother. And I was talking about this. My mother My mother is the most straight-laced Christian lady on the planet. Absolutely. Right? Like, but my mother loves music. And when Napster came out, my mother thought it was the coolest thing ever. And I kid you not, we had a discussion like 2 years ago where my mom came to my room and she goes, can you get me this album? Is there a way you can still do that? And I'm like, Mom, iTunes. Like you have met my mother, so you tell them, like, seriously,
100%.
There is not a more straight-laced lady than my mom.
I think stuff like Napster, there is a little more of an excuse, because that was very much the Wild West. And as consumers, I don't think we were super aware, you know, because it was so new that it was theft. You know, yeah. It wasn't presented that way. It was very much presented as like, hey, all the music you ever liked. And it was one of those things. Once the lawsuit started and, you know, as consumers, we did learn it was theft, you know, that's when you need to put it down and go, whoa, you know, I mean, once you become knowledgeable of it. Before that, there wasn't anything particular that made consumers aware that, yeah, this is pretty wrong, and so many people were behind it, and it seemed legit, and so that one you can kind of give a little bit of a pass to.
Yep, fair. And on that point, we'll wrap. But thank you, Chad, because that was quite enjoyable.
So. One real quick thing before we wrap. If y'all have a chance to play Life is Strange Before the Storm, I played a little bit of the first episode today. And I was telling Tommy, there's a section in there where you have the opportunity to play 20 minutes of a D&D campaign as Chloe.
Oh, and yeah.
I did that right before the show, and it is the coolest thing. If you get a chance to experience, definitely go pick up Life is Strange Before the Storm.
And definitely steal it before you pay for it. No, I'm just kidding.
It's pretty cheap right now. I think it's like the full-on deluxe edition is like $15 with all the DLC and everything.
But yeah. My apologies, because I didn't ask Jamie what he was playing, and he had something to share, and I knew that. So that's on me. I apologize. I dropped them all there.
So. P.S. Kids, if you're going to steal from somebody, steal from Apple. They're worth over $1 trillion.
Not unfair. So all that being said, thank you guys for being here. As always, thank you for your support. We appreciate it so much more than you know. It's huge. So other than that, we'll be back in just a matter of days with another show, because now we're doing that thing and it's fun and it's working still. So cool. Anything else before we wrap up?
Thank you, Patreon people. Most of you are here, but some of you are not. Thank you so much for allowing us to do what it is that we do.
100%.
I want to thank Jamie for almost every show plugging Cabbage's show and never mentioning mine. Thanks, Sammy.
And your show is way better and way more produced.
I've plugged and promoted your show for like 5 years now. Thank
would you like to plug your show really quick, Chad?
Yeah, man. Thanks. Popcorn and Games. Every couple of weeks, you can find us Popcorn and Games or thepopcornpodcast.com, Stitcher, iTunes, you know, all that good stuff. And we have fun, just like
there
this.
There you go.
Except we sit in the same room and talk shit to each other that way.
Fair enough. Cabbage, I heard you had a show too. Would you like to talk about that real briefly?
No, we already heard about Cabbage's show.
Apparently, there's only room for one plug here. So I don't know. I'll let Jamie talk about it if he wants to.
Yeah, Jamie, why don't you're really good at it, Jake. Let's hear it.
I gotta be honest, it is a really great show. I do think it. Chad's show is good too. We've got a lot of really great people that produce some really great content. So if you get a chance to check some of that out, please do so. Yes, I'm a professional broadcaster. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for being here. Another enjoyable roundtable, and we will we'll talk to you next month. So for now, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.